Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining with us. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Glenn Fink.
Pat Park.
Al James.
Rainer James.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for introducing yourselves, because I have a hard time remembering everybody's name. No, I don't. Not that hard. So, Pat, I think we're going to start with something that you have on the plate.
Yeah, I saw this article and I downloaded it because we're having an election, so this caught my eye. And the title of the article is, over 200,000 people on North Carolina voter rolls missing Social Security numbers likely ineligible to vote. And one reason it caught my eye is because Susan Williams was at the Republican Women's Luncheon last week and gave us a speech about how secure our voting system here is in North Carolina, and she didn't mention anything about missing Social Security numbers. So I would just like to ask that we invite her to come on the show next week and respond to this article.
I think that's a great idea. The other person that we need to figure out how to connect with is Major Dave Getz, who is a retired Army...
Major. Right.
But he was a cyber specialist, and he does regularly downloads North Carolina election information to compare data. And he's come up with some very interesting things about our voter rolls.
He can compare
North Carolina.
Current data with that from several years ago and see if it's changed.
And it changes when it shouldn't.
I think what he's looking at mostly is state data, the state as it's up in the state. And he will take snapshots of the data that they report on a daily basis. So 10 days after an election, you have, quote, a certified count. And then he takes a shot the next day, and all the numbers keep changing of this, quote, certified voter count.
Well, isn't that interesting?
That's a very, very interesting
thing.
We need a
double system where the results are reported to two places and cannot be changed, and we don't have that.
Yeah, if it went into, the auditor's office and the treasurer's office,
yes.
Two separate locations.
By the way,
two separate reconciliations, which should reconcile.
To go off onto a tangent, okay, like we don't go off to tangents, but I just watched a PBS series. Folks, I apologize for watching, but no, I watched the PBS series, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office, and this is all about the English Post Office, and it was the early 2000s, and how the Post Office put in a brand new system from Fujitsu, and there were... As a postmaster in a locale, you have signed that you're responsible for all liability of funds and this, that, and the other thing. And all of a sudden, people were on $3,000 or 3,000
pounds
short. And well, I didn't do this, and all of a sudden, now I'm 7,000 pounds short. And they were bringing individuals up on criminal charges in this thing. And, you're the only one that's having problems. Well, this was a four-part series, and Mr. Bates apparently went after them and got together originally, I think, about 55 people that the same thing had happened to, including a few other people that because of this shortfall and they lost their house and committed suicide.
Oh my.
And went after them and had the state, had the government, the lords, I guess, the lower house going after the post office to find out what's going on. Well, to try to make the story relatively short, they finally came up with some folks on the inside that were working in the Fujitsu system that nobody can get in there. Oh, yes, we could get in there and we could change numbers and whatever else.
Sounds like our elections.
And it's up to about 600 people, the 600 postal sites that are involved in this thing. Hopefully PBS would rerun it again, or I think it's available on Prime or something like that. But it's quite an interesting thing that they're up against the government. So you're up against the government that can never do fault. So
it's like trying to fight the bank.
It's like trying to fight the bank, yes. And the bank has every option to cut you off of your own funds. Yes. Where are we going now?
You know, one thing I wanted to mention is back several years ago, Each person that went to the Board of Elections office was issued a little card to identify themselves as a voter. I don't know why that couldn't be done, where the people have to register and then be given a card and then present that card when they come in. Something that simple.
Something that simple, yeah. I mean, we hear them griping about voter ID because it's going to pick on a certain race.
Right. And you know how insulting that is? That implies that they haven't got sense enough to come in out of the rain.
You know
that's
how
awful.
But you heard the governor of New York saying that black people don't know how to work computers.
No, she said they don't even know what a computer is.
That is unbelievably
tremendously
racist.
Tremendously insulting.
Yes. Then she backtracked it.
Yeah.
Well, she had no choice.
She backtracked. Oh, yeah, they know what a computer is. They don't know how to work with AI.
I don't know how to work with AI.
Me neither.
I don't.
I join y'all's club?
Folks, let me be the first to say, I don't want to learn how to work with AI.
There you go.
I want to change the subject entirely. And I want to talk about some of the Biden administration's actions toward Israel. And there are two things that I want to mention. First of all, there was a little blip this week on the radar that it looked like there was a ceasefire. And then it turned out there wasn't a ceasefire. And what happened was that Egypt and Qatar were negotiating this ceasefire. Now, it's amazing to me that, first of all, they weren't including Israel, who's involved directly in this, in the negotiations, but we can let that go a minute. And Israel was not informed about the agreement till after everybody had agreed to it. And then Hamas changed it. And one of the changes that Hamas made is they were going to swap dead hostages for live terrorists. And Israel said, I don't think so. So it looked like Hamas had agreed to a ceasefire and then Israel turned it down. Well, that's not what happened at all, but that's what a lot of our media reported. So I just want to point out that the comment has been made that Israel got played, and I agree with that. And the other thing I want to mention is the fact that the Biden administration is holding up arms shipments because they're afraid that the bombs, and they're talking about
precision guided
large bombs.
Arms shipments to whom?
To Israel.
To Israel.
Okay.
They're holding up the bomb shipments to Israel because they're concerned about the humanitarian situation for the Gazans. Now, first of all, Israel has set up safe zones for the civilians to flee to. Hamas won't let them flee because Hamas wants to use them as human shields. Israel has set up humanitarian aid. Hamas is shooting people who try to get access to that aid other than Hamas. So the Biden administration is acting like idiots.
Well, you know, back that up just one second, because in the House of Representatives, they had to pass the Ukraine aid,
Israel aid,
and whatever, I forget what the third one is.
Ukraine.
But
continuing resolution.
To get them all done, and then afterwards, Biden is withholding the aid that was going to Israel.
Isn't that what they impeached Trump for?
I believe so.
This is bait and switch. It really is.
Yeah, and I tell you, there's more to it than that. Todd Bensman reported yesterday that we are going to take refugees from Gaza. Now, I'm sorry, those people are reared from early childhood to be Sharia supremacist, to be terrorist. They're taught as children to shoot people. We're going to import those people into our country
as refugees.
They're
trained to be martyrs from kindergarten on.
Exactly. I don't know what we're going to do about it, but we don't need those people amongst our own.
It is telling that the other Arab countries will not let them come there.
For a reason.
Well, it was the Muslim Brotherhood that killed Anwar Sadat. So Egypt's had a bad experience. It was the Palestinian Liberation Organization that tried to overthrow the government of Jordan. So Jordan's had a bad experience. It was Hezbollah that took over Lebanon after it was the garden spot of the Middle East. So Lebanon's had a bad experience. I mean, the numbers keep rolling up.
Yeah, yeah.
The other organization that they gave money to was, I think it was Hamas.
They
was
did.
Hamas, that's right.
I mean, I don't know if that's the one you were thinking of.
I think that's the one I was thinking of, yes.
You know, I would advise anybody that thinks the Arabic countries are not willing to kill other people to read the Quran. See what they say about infidels in the Quran.
Yes.
I've read the Quran.
And, you know, read it with understanding, because the things that were written last, and it's not arranged in that order, so you have to really pick it out. But the violent things are all the things that still count. They have nullified the quiet.
Right. Well, what you're talking about the verse of the sword. That's the one that says, "Beleaguer, find the Jews and the Christians and beleaguer them always, and to kill them."
Yeah.
The basic outline, if I can use that word, of the Quran, or the basic, how it's organized, is when the Muslims didn't have any power, they were peaceful.
Exactly.
And as they gained power, they took over. There wasn't a compromise.
That pattern has been repeated.
To anyone who doesn't believe that's a problem for us, they need to look up the Holy Land Foundation trial and the government exhibits and read the Muslim Brotherhood's plan to use lawfare to institute Sharia law in America. And they're working on that plan as we speak.
Well, that plan is complete to the point that after there's so many Arab people in the country, like 2%, you do this. When it's 10%, you do this. When it's 20%, you do this. Mm-hmm. When you get majority, this is where you do all these wonderful things.
Yes, and we have no-go zones in America, in Michigan, where you do not go if you are not a Muslim.
Have you seen the picture of the campus protesters who en masse became Islamists, Muslims?
With identical tents, of course.
And they're all, you know, on their knees, you know, with their head down, their butts in the air, praying to Allah. And, you know, a lot of those protesters are women.
Yes.
They have no idea.
No idea. And they're having their little cute pictures taken with their keffiyeh.
And the gays for Gaza. I mean, that's the one that cracks me up. Do they understand that they would be thrown off a building with their hands tied behind their back if they were there?
I want to talk about a theory that takes that a little farther after the break.
Okay.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Rainer, you gave us a teaser, and now you've got to fill it.
I think this unrest on the college thing and these hapless young people who don't know what they're doing. Muslims have no regard for women. Muslims have no Sharia supremacists, no regard for blacks. They're very low on the totem pole. Well, here Antifa and Black Lives Matter and these feminists are in here swinging, as you all have just observed. It is financed in an orderly way by Muslim Brotherhood, by George Soros and others. Patman and I think the tents all alike, they came from somewhere. They didn't just fall from the sky. I think there's a plan to use those people. And it's not a good plan. I suspect that some of the women and blacks will be sacrificed. They'll be shot. They'll be killed to up the ante throughout the big cities during the summertime. And I think our enemies are plotting against us. We need to think like they think and figure out what they're doing and what our response needs to be. I think that the plan is probably either A, have the riots so awful that they declare martial law and call off the election altogether, or B, say it's so dangerous to go into the city to vote that everything has to be right in.
We need more
by
frat
mail.
Boys.
We need more what?
Frat boys.
That were holding up the flag.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that we saw, you talk about declaring martial law. There's also declaring martial law without declaring martial law.
Explain yourself, Mary.
One of the things we saw in Massachusetts after the bombing at
The marathon? The marathon, yeah.
The marathon bombing. Mm-hmm. There were a number of cities in Massachusetts that everyone was told to shelter in place. Martial law was never declared.
Uh-huh.
But everyone was told, do not leave your house, shelter in place. Now, that's highly illegal. But they did it, and it worked, and they found the guys. So nobody said anything.
After COVID, I don't think we're going to do that. It's like, you fooled me once.
Well, you fooled me twice, and you're going for a third time?
Yeah. We're not sheltering. We're not wearing masks. We're not doing any of that.
I'm going to Lowe's.
I went to Lowe's and grocery stores. I didn't wear a mask. I didn't get the shot, and I'm still here, and I never got COVID.
It's interesting. I hate to say this, but right now our government is not necessarily our friend.
Oh.
No kidding.
Practicing your British understatement. Uh-huh.
That's a very bold statement, Mary. You're really getting out there on the ramparts.
That's called observing the obvious,
okay.
Right?
Captain Obvious.
Where are we going to go now?
I want to go to a picture. Now, we're on the radio, so I can't show you a picture. But we all remember the picture that every news broadcast had a number of months ago of the top secret documents that they found at Mar-a-Lago when they raided it. It turns out, I'll give them credit, it wasn't Photoshopped. I'll give them credit for that. But what they did was they rearranged all the evidence to make it look considerably worse than it did. And there was a picture I saw somewhere. I can't remember where I saw it.
Oh, I saw it again this morning.
But no, that there was another picture of when Trump left the White House, he took 13 boxes of documents with him. And the picture said, this is the picture of the 13 boxes that Trump took with him. And there were like 50 boxes lined up in a corner. This was a total setup. And now Jack Smith is being kind of looked at closely for tampering with evidence. The trial's been postponed. And Rainer, you had some information on something with that?
Judge Cannon is going to hold evidentiary hearings about that very thing. Actually, I thought it was late May, but it's June 24 to 26, I think, is when she's got that scheduled. I think she's a brave woman. I'm delighted with the work she's doing. She's taking Jack Smith off the offensive and putting him on the defensive, and that's where he needs to be. Julie Kelly has done a lot of research. And I think there's evidence to show all of that and make it quite clear in court.
Well, I seem to remember, and I don't remember the details, that he got in trouble with the world court because he was doing things that were not quite kosher when he was
a shady character.
I believe every one of his major cases has been overturned.
What a record.
Are you sure you're talking about Jack and not Andrew Weissman? His have been overturned, too, and he was on the Mueller gang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's good about this, though, is the prosecution of a mismanagement of secret documents case is mismanaging the secret documents while it's under their control.
While it's under their
control. Yes. You know, in that picture where the documents are laid on the floor and they have the little sign 2A, it's an exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
What they explained is there's not document, those are cover sheets.
Yeah.
There's no documents behind them. They just laid those cover sheets out there to make it look
more
titillating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And nefarious.
They're still using that picture. I saw it again this morning. I have to disagree with you guys. I think this is all a tempest in a teacup because they said the documents weren't in the same order in the box, but it was only a few documents. And they had put a placeholder in place of the document, and it was in a different place in one box than it was in another box. And so while we all go, oh, he missed, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, they discovered it.
Other than he had put it in a footnote to say, yeah, we got things out of order.
Well, I think it's not just out of order. I think there were some missing documents, according to what Julie Kelly is reporting.
Well, the thing, too, it's not so much how big a deal it is in terms of the court case. To me, it's how big a deal it is in terms of the publicity and the way that it was used against President Trump.
Well, Pat, I think last week you had mentioned that the GSA had done the data dump onto with a pallet's worth of stuff onto Trump, mm-hmm. and many of these documents, I'm going to say, may have been in that data
in those
dump.
Boxes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
One thing that's really puzzled me about this is who has the authority to declassify, declassification authority. Now, they say the president didn't have declassification authority. Some people are saying that. Well, when I was stationed at the Pentagon, I had declassification authority, and I was just a colonel. I could go in and ask somebody to open their safe, and if there's a bunch of junk in there that didn't need to be secret anymore, I could just say, it's declassified, get it out of there.
Well, the classified documents always had a stamp on them that said it was subject to the declassification authority.
That's right, and I had declassification authority in the division.
That had to be delegated by the president because he's the one that can...
He must have delegated that to a three-star general because he's the one that gave it to me.
Right. Well, it's like anything else. Congress has delegated their authority to all these administrative agencies. But what I'm saying is the president has the ability to declassify anything he wants to. There's no procedure. They can't say, well, you didn't jump through this hoop, therefore it never became unclassified. On the other hand, Joe Biden never had declassification authority, so all those boxes of documents in his garage remained classified. All the documents that were found at the University of Pennsylvania remained classified, and yet Ter says, well, we're not going to prosecute him because he's an old guy with a bad memory.
and they will not release the tapes of that interview.
Right.
That's being fought for pretty hard by Jordan right now, from what I understand.
Yeah, he's going to write a nasty letter if they're not careful.
Yeah, a nasty letter.
You know what? I think subpoenas should fly. I think that the hearings ought to include stuff that, if they are proven to be lying, there's something to go back and hang them on.
Also,
the American people need to know it.
Well, they've not released the documents at the University of Delaware. They haven't released his...
Pennsylvania.
No, there's the University of Delaware.
Oh, that's right.
They're has all kinds of records, and they're not allowing them in. One of the theories on that is because information on the Tara Reid case may be in there, and they don't want that to come out.
And explain what Tara Reid is.
Please. Well, Tara Reid evidently, during the Biden when he was a senator, charged him with sexual assault. And there is corroborating, I don't know if it's...
So this is the Stormy Daniels version on...
Well, this is the one whose mother called... What's his name? Who was the talk show person? Larry King, and said, my daughter works for a highly placed U.S. official, and she was sexually assaulted, but she doesn't want to ruin his career, and what should she do? And that phone call is recorded. It's on the record, a phone call with Larry King, and they identified the mother's voice. So there is corroborating evidence that that took place, and of course it's been buried or... called a Russian disinformation campaign or whatever they're doing with with facts that are damaging right now. And records of that may be at the University of Delaware, which is why they probably don't want that stuff released.
Wow.
Well, the silence is deafening.
There's no rejoinder to that.
No rejoinder to that. Yeah. Okay. Where are we going to go now?
Well, I want to come back with something about the unaccompanied minors coming across the border, and what's happening to those children.
So that you want to come back when we...
Yes, when we resume.
When we resume. Folks, we're going to take a quick break, an early quick break, and hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. this Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina. Pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Mary, you want to take us someplace else?
One of the problems that we've had at our border, other than the mobs coming across, is the unaccompanied children. And they're supposed to be released to relatives when they get here. But unfortunately, during Biden's presidency, 24,000 plus were released to unrelated sponsors. And the numbers are of the kids that are coming across are higher than that, but that's those are the ones they're admitting are released to unrelated sponsors. But then in 2023, the Times reported that although the DHS checks on all these minors, by calling them a month later, in the last 2 years, the agency could not reach more than 85,000 children. So what has happened to these children? It's scary. We are enabling, as a country, human trafficking of minors, and it needs to stop. And
well, let's don't forget the giant hypocrisy. Remember, they kept confusing Trump of separating families?
Yes.
And he was doing DNA testing.
Yeah, I know. But they were accusing him.
I know.
Of separating families, putting kids in cages. And once again, if the Democrats are accusing you of it, you can be sure they're doing it.
Well, it's scary.
Classic
at least
projection.
He was doing the DNA testing to make sure the kids went with a relative. And if you saw The Sound of Freedom, you saw how easy it was to get a child across the border for nefarious purposes.
Yeah.
I understand they're going to do another movie like that.
I hope so.
I think so.
That was worth seeing. Mm-hmm. That was totally worth seeing.
Well, again, you look at a person that was in the agency that the agency didn't want him to investigate. He finally had to leave the agency because of the pressure
to do what he needed
from
to do.
From the government agency to do what he morally needed to do.
Right.
Now, how many folks within our government, and I'm just going to use the government as a loose term, just have no moral compass?
The number is legion, unfortunately, and most of them are in the executive branch one way and another.
And we keep talking about cleaning up the way that the legislature works now. Now, here's former President Donald Trump with this hush money thing and out of his own funds, and we are aware of a Senate slush fund that is using taxpayer dollars to pay off people just like this.
Yep.
Taxpayer.
I take that
dollars.
Back. But it's not all the executive department.
Yeah, I mean, it's $17 million that they've spent. It's not chump change. $130,000 is chump change.
Chump change.
And
right.
You can bet that none of that information will ever be released.
They were asked at the time. While Trump was president, and that died a quick death.
The double standard is amazing.
Yes. Now, you had some updates on Fannygate?
Fannygate, my favorite thing to talk about. just to catch people up, Fannie Willis is a black woman elected district attorney in Fulton County, Georgia, and she is the one prosecuting President Trump on a RICO case based on her interpretation of the RICO statute to get him for trying to influence the election. And it, as an interesting side note, the election people, the people that run the elections in Fulton County, have admitted that there were irregularities in the vote tabulation. So it's interesting that he can be a RICO violator by saying, hey, there's irregularities, when they're admitting there are irregularities. That's interesting to me. But at any rate, when it was discovered that Fannie was sleeping with Nathan Wade, who is a married man, and he's the one that she had put on the case to lead the prosecution and paid him almost, well, three quarters of a million dollars, I'm sorry. Billion would have been something else.
That'd be more than chump change.
Well, three quarter of a million to me is not chump change.
That's right.
I wish somebody give that to me.
That's right.
At any rate, one of the defendants whose lawyer was Ashley Merchant, she filed a motion to disqualify Nathan Wade and Fannie Willis based on conflict of interest. So they had a big trial on the issue, and the judge, McAfee, said that the only way Fannie Willis could stay on the case was if she got rid of Nathan or she got rid of herself. So Nathan immediately resigned, and he said she could stay on the case, although there was still an odor of mendacity. And for those of you that don't watch Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, mendacity means lying. And he gave, at the end of the hearing on the those motions, he gave the defendants permission to take the his ruling to the Court of Appeals. And Mary has asked me this before, when can you appeal an order? And usually it's at the end of the trial. So the judge had to give them permission to go ahead and appeal this. So it went to the Court of Appeals. And so today, Georgia Appeals Court agrees to review ruling allowing Fannie Willis to stay on Trump election case. So the article says that the Court of Appeals there moves slowly. This may hold up the case so it doesn't start before Election Day. Can you imagine if the Court of Appeals pushes her off that case? That will be very interesting. And whoever loses will probably go to the Georgia Supreme Court, which will further delay matters.
Pat, you're also talking about the case where you mentioned earlier about her, I'm going to say, redefining RICO, racketeering influence corruption.
Corrupt organization.
Corrupt organization, yeah. And she has really, really redefined that. That so nobody else can recognize it.
Yeah, it's pretty twisted. But then all of the cases against Trump have twisted the law out of recognition. And in fact, there's a case at the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court right now, on the January 6th defendants, because the statute that some of them pled guilty to and or were prosecuted under had to do with preserving evidence, documents, like in the Enron case, had nothing to do with obstructing a judicial proceeding, and so the sentencing courts have said if the Supreme Court knocks down their sentencing on that one charge, they'll just up their sentence time on the other charges.
In other words, they were coerced into doing that. Just saying that they have broken the law.
Well, anybody that plead was coerced.
Yes.
Nobody pled to something they actually did.
Well, what the point opinion. I was trying to consider is whether or not by doing that, they would promise to be treated more lightly than they would have if they didn't.
I don't know. Well, maybe.
Maybe, okay.
Pat, I have a question.
Sure.
There's evidence coming out that the Georgia election in 2020 was totally messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are people that were indicted and people like Rudy Giuliani and other people like that that got in trouble and that were tried because they said that election was messed up. Am I correct? What went on there?
Are you talking about the Georgia case?
Yeah.
Well, the case against Trump has to do with him calling. Remember, he called up and said, "Find me 11,000 more
votes."
I don't think these are being tabulated correctly. So they're pretending that that was fine me 11,000 fake votes, and he was trying to bend the election in his favor illegally.
And
yet, in the meantime, they've been pursuing whether or not there were irregularities in the Georgia vote, and the election board had to admit, yes, there were.
And it sounds like there were serious irregular. I mean, we're talking major numbers.
Major numbers, yes.
And people like Rudy Giuliani got bankrupted by what they did to him because he questioned it.
Right, and that was in another case.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not in this case, I don't think.
No, I don't think he is. But that was another case where somebody said that they thought the election was fraudulent and they got taken to the cleaners because of it.
Actually, it's happening to a lot of people close to Trump. It's Peter Navarro is in jail right now.
Yes.
Steve Bannon is being threatened with it.
And Matt Gaetz was not allowed to interview Peter Navarro.
Because he was... What was the word they used? Infamous?
Notorious.
Notorious. That was disgusting.
An old man. Notorious. Pete Navarro is a gray-haired old man.
Yeah, I forget his exact age, but he clearly has kept himself in good shape. He's been lifting weights.
He really looks good. He does.
Well, the last time we saw him.
But he's not, he's not your average rebel rouser.
No. Matt Gaetz can't get in. They won't let him see his lawyer.
Can you imagine the Federal Bureau of Prisons turning down a congressman who has authority over their budget to keep him from visiting? They've kept the... not the Federal Bureau of Prisons, but the D.C. jail has kept the Congress from visiting the J6 defendants. And it just amazes me, because I know when I was in the Air Force, and I'm sure Hal had the same experience, all you had to say was the Senate was coming to visit. Somebody from the Congress was coming to visit. We had to polish and clean everything in sight. and everybody was freaking out with fear. God forbid they find anything wrong. It just amazes me they have that kind of authority to tell Matt Gaetz to go pound sand.
They really don't. They're doing all kinds of illegal things, but they're making it stick. We need to go on the offensive
round.
I haven't finished with Fannie.
Okay.
Ooh,
okay.
Coming back with Fannie.
We're going to come back.
We're
going to come back.
That's what we're talking about.
Okay, that's where we're going. Folks, we're going to take a quick break.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. You have continuing...
Fannie Gate. Yes.
The series continues.
Yes. I have mentioned that there are hearings being held on her in various places. There's various lawsuits. One of the lawsuits was by Judicial Watch, and they often file lawsuits in discovery cases where the government has refused to give them documents that they've asked for in a case of high interest. And so they've asked for the documents. They filed a lawsuit, and as part of discovery, they wanted the documents between Jack Smith and Fannie Willis regarding the prosecution of Trump. And she refuses to give them. And apparently she thinks she's above the law. So because she's also refused to testify in front of the Georgia Senate, who is also investigating her. She tells reporters she will not testify before Georgia Senate committee, and the Republican committee chair threatens to hold her in contempt. The Judicial Watch is filing a motion for default judgment. And what that is you file a lawsuit against somebody, they refuse to answer within 30 days, you win by default. It's interesting, she doesn't want to give up those public records.
Now, what happens if is she essentially being tried for something?
No. It's a civil case. It's a civil case.
So it doesn't impact
her
that
freedom.
Directly does not impact her judgeship
but,
in
but
any way.
But it is public information.
She's not a judge.
It is public information.
What is she?
She's a district attorney.
Okay, but that doesn't affect her position, or does it?
No, it doesn't. Other than whatever judgment the judge is hearing this case decides he has the power to do to her. The county that funds Fulton County as part of some of the hearings that had been held in Georgia said that they gave her office $36 million in a lump sum to fund the office, and she doesn't have to answer to them on how she spends it.
Oh,
and that blew my mind, because when I was a district attorney, our budget was set out in categories, and if we wanted to buy something in one category that required more money, we had to get permission from the state to move money from one category to the other category. And if something was over a certain limit, in dollars, we had to tell them, here's what we want to buy, and essentially get permission. She just, hey, $36 million, I spend it however I want.
And that's how she got the salary of her boyfriend up to where it was.
Well, she got a federal grant for $488,000 plus to open a gang prevention office. She never opened the office. The only funds that were documented that she spent out of that $488,000 was an $80,000 contribution to a juvenile gang organization outside of Georgia in a different state. Okay, she sent them $80,000. Well, that leaves a big chunk of $488 million, and that's what Jim Jordan is investigating her for, is where did those funds go? Because the office never opened. And it may be that she used that money to pay Nathan Wade. You know? Any rate, the county has said we don't have any, and we can't remove her from office because she's a state constitutional officer. She's elected. So she has, you have to deal with her a whole different way than you can an employee, because she's an elected officer.
Is that impeachment in some form?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if that office would impeach her,
if that office has impeachment,
right. It would be a state office. And so far the Georgia bar has been mum. They haven't introduced themselves into this. They could take her law license. But they're staying out of it. So she's failed to answer the lawsuit on the public documents. She doesn't want anybody to know that she coordinated with the White House on this case before she filed it against Trump. She won't testify in front of the Georgia Senate committee, and she's playing the race card. She went to a black church, and one of the things she said was, referring to Letitia James, who's also a black woman up in New York, that isn't it interesting, she said, that we have two black women DAs and daddy has to come out and tell us what to do. Well, McAfee, Judge McAfee, had warned her against saying racial comments because, remember, she went to the black church and when that motion was filed and tried to make that part of her defense. Well, I found an article this morning. It says, this endorsement of Fannie Willis may just be the funniest ever. And it was, she went to the church again to defend herself. And Reverend Anthony Motley said he was so honored to stand with this incredible district attorney calling her a courageous woman. Then he completely went off the rails. He compared her to Queen Esther of old and said she has come into the kingdom at such a time as God has handpicked her for this moment. He then cited Al Sharpton to say there was not any redeeming quality in Trump and he was saturated with evil. I guess he forgot the part about sleeping with a married man. So what God thinks about that.
And everybody's forgotten the part of Al Sharpton with Tawana Brawley.
That's right.
100% lying.
We don't forget about it, do we, Bob?
We don't forget about it.
No, we do not. We also don't forget about the riot he caused in the Jewish neighborhood that resulted in the death of a Jewish man. And the fact that he doesn't pay his taxes.
Well,
that,
yeah, but he's a Democrat. Nothing to see here, folks.
Nothing to see here.
Right.
Hey, Bob, if you think it'd be interesting, I'd like to hear what some of the folks around the table here think about Marjorie Taylor Greene's efforts to oust Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House. Seems like she's on a roll in that regard when I watch War Room.
Well, evidently, there's been some kind of a cooperative agreement between Mike Johnson and Hakeem Jeffries, and, you know, to a power-sharing agreement, which is horrible. And I think that I would like to see Mike Johnson go. However, I don't think this is the time to do it, because if he goes, I can pretty well guarantee you that Hakeem Jeffries will become the Speaker of the House.
And he's a Democrat.
And I don't think we want that.
Of course not.
I think, in my opinion, we're stuck with Johnson until November. If we can elect a stronger Republican House, we can do better.
Well, because of all the anti-Trumpers that have been retiring and defecting, we're down to a one-person margin. So I don't understand what Marjorie is doing, because she's going to blow up the whole thing.
I think she wants to go on the offensive. I really do.
Even though we'll lose?
Not necessarily.
She gets one defective Republican vote and the Democrat steps in.
I hear you, but the Democrat is running the show now. How could they get any more of what they want than what they have already gotten?
Well, they've got cover.
And that dang Johnson yesterday was going on and on about how awful these court things were, how it was lawfare, yada, yada, yada. It may rise to the level of criminal conspiracy. Almost my hind foot. We've been talking about what's going on. It is a criminal conspiracy to election interference. It's Mike Johnson is talking like nothing to see here. We are not that bad yet. That's not true. We are that bad yet.
However, as long as Mike Johnson is the Speaker of the House, the investigations will continue. If you put Hakeem Jeffries in as Speaker of the House, all those investigations will be shut down.
Good point, Mary.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. I think the horrible thing to do, but the right thing to do, is to stick it out with this guy until November, and then get. The other part is, who is going to get the money for campaigning with Mike Johnson there And I hope he funds the Trump supporters as his predecessor did.
I think he's a rhino. To me, it used to be Democrats and Republicans, and I like the Republican platform better.
Yeah.
So I signed me up for Republicans. Okay. Now I don't feel that way at all. I think it is America first, make America great again, versus the Uniparty.
I agree.
And I'm sick to death of it. I want to get rid of people who don't want to restore our republic, to restore our opportunity, to restore our ability to be a meritocracy, where there's opportunity for all, guarantees for none.
Now, let me ask you, I'm going to put this out for everybody. Is the mess we have now fixable?
Barely.
You know,
comments?
I think so.
Well, you know, I'm quickly looking up the last few speakers of the House, like John Boehner, Paul Ryan, Kevin McCarthy, Mike Johnson. Why are Dennis Hastert?
Okay. Mr. White stance.
How are we? Where are we going with this? With this side of the issue?
The only way they can agree on who's going to take that seat is they have to water it down so much that you end up with
mush,
a guy that nobody likes.
That nobody likes. That's right.
Yeah, so
the least. Well, there used to be in business. There used to be something called the least worst alternative. That you have many options, but you wanted to choose the least worst. I don't think they even recognize that. Mm.
And again, it depends on what happens in November, because
there you go.
We need strong, and I hate to, it's not about, excuse me, it's not about political parties. It's about basic beliefs.
Good and evil. I mean, it's down to good and evil.
And if you believe that America, as it was founded, has value, then you need to vote accordingly. And unfortunately, we have people in our government who do not support America as founded.
Yeah.
And they need to go.
Yep.
Folks, we only have about 10 to 15 seconds left. Does anybody have a last quick comment?
I want to talk about a cheddar powder. Eating crickets.
Eating crickets, okay.
Tune in next week.
The elite want us to eat crickets, and they're being ground up and used as a protein supplement. If you look in your ingredients, if you're buying something, and it says acheta, A-C-H-E-T-A, if you don't want to eat crickets, don't buy it.
Very
Whoa.
Good. That's the way we're
Sound
ending
advice.
The show. That's the way we're ending the show. Have a great day.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in Newbern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in Newbern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. you'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.